the music. Cut the music.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh, oh.
Spectacular group of men. You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Like poison. Like rat poison.
Are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys?
And welcome to the College Football Country Podcast. My name is Josh Parcell, founder of College Football Country, CFBCountry.com. Fired up the blog again this week, so go ahead and check out my latest piece on Michelle Beadle and why college football is going to be just fine without her. I'll also have gambling picks up on Friday and much more. So make sure you guys are checking it out, CFBCountry.com. And if you want to catch me on the radio, just check out WFNZ. If you're not in Charlotte, it's the radio.com app. Look for WFNZ, 102.5 FM in Charlotte, 610 AM, talking all things ACC, SEC football, and of course the Carolina Panthers as well, if you're into that sort of thing. So check that out. My guest today, Peter Burns from the SEC Network. Absolutely love Peter. Look, the guy has the life, okay? He wakes up in the morning. He goes in 7 to 10 a.m. He's on SEC This Morning on Sirius XM Radio. He does all sorts of stuff for the SEC Network. He also helps out with the Paul Feinbaum Show. Guy has had a tremendous career, somebody I've looked up to a lot. And if you don't know his story, I wanted to get to it on the podcast, but we didn't have enough time. So go check out his Twitter page, and he has an amazing story that he wrote on a blog about a year or two ago, just kind of detailing his story about how he got to where he is. This is a guy who a few years ago was fired from his job, wife and kids left him in the middle of the night. An incredible story of a guy who really, what could look like you lost everything and was able to build himself back up and is now absolutely thriving. Got to spend a half hour to an hour inside his beautiful home with his beautiful wife and his 9-month-old baby who's torn right now between being an LSU fan and an Alabama fan. I know that they're trying to fight that battle. We'll see who comes out on top, Peter, the LSU fan, or his wife, Lauren, the Bama fan. So without further ado, let's get to the SEC preview with Peter Burns. Hope you guys enjoy it. And be sure to check out the last podcast before the season kicks off, which will come your way Friday. Big Ten over-unders with Kevin McGuire. And also, I aim to tease and a special Daily Fantasy preview. That's right, it's back. Daily Fantasy on DraftKings College Football Edition with Rossi 3-Stack. So thanks again, guys. Now on to Peter. All right, now welcome on Peter Burns to the College Football Country Podcast. And I always love doing the podcast with you, Peter, because I don't have to dial up a phone. All I have to do is sit through traffic in Charlotte for 45 minutes. And here I am in your backyard in a beautiful setting here. And, you know, first, before we even get started, man, congratulations. I want to introduce you. Normally, I give the credentials, you know, what you do for a living. I think it might be quicker to tell us what you don't do now. You're going to be pretty busy this fall. So what are you doing on SEC Network now?
First of all, trying to navigate football season with a 9-month-old who's finally starting to kind of walk around a little bit. It's going to be interesting, to say the least. But, yeah, man, a little bit of everything. Monday through Friday, Sirius XM. I do a show on the SEC channel, 374, and via the app. That we do 7 to 10 each morning with me and Marcus Spears. And then on Monday mornings, that's going to be on SEC Network. I'm going to be doing a lot of shows on Feinbaum this year. I'm going to anchor the coverage for SEC Network for our football games for the noon and 4 p.m. kickoffs. Still doing SEC Now, and then I do a ESPN radio show on Sundays. So, yeah, other than that, not a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, other than that.
Probably upsetting a lot of people with what I'm going to say on the podcast today. I'm wondering if that's going to be the case.
Well, not to mention you got a couple, 9-month-old now?
Yeah. Runner? So little Bo Burns is almost 10 months. She was born on Halloween. So, yeah, this is going to be her first football season. And it's interesting because I'm born and raised in Baton Rouge, so I'm a diehard LSU fan, and my wife's a diehard Alabama fan. So depends on who wakes up first that morning, who gets to dress our daughter. When
yeah.
Alabama probably beats LSU for the umpteenth time again.
Yeah. Well, that's like, what is it? Clay Travis's kid, I think, is an Alabama fan, and I know
right.
It burns his soul. So do what you can, you know, just slip in there before your wife wakes up, throw
that's
the
it.
Alabama onesie on, and you're good to go.
Well, what I'll do is I'll probably let her wear LSU gear to start the game, and then probably switch her into Bama gear just so she can feel a little bit, like a little positive reinforcement, you know, so cause that way she feels like a winner after the game.
Yeah. We'll talk plenty about LSU and Alabama coming up. So the way I've done it with the other conferences so far is I've kind of gone worst to first and, you know, just end with the good teams. We're going to be pretty quick on some of these. So I'll do this right out of the gate. Starting in the SEC East, I'll just give you three teams, and you tell me which one you want to talk about.
Okay.
Vandy, Kentucky, or Tennessee? Which one's most interesting to you?
Honestly, Kentucky, believe it or not, is interesting. I think Vandy struggles. Well, just real quick. I think Vandy struggles just for a bevy of different reasons. I like Kyle Shermer. However, I think that they just don't have the personnel. For Tennessee, I think this is a complete rebuilding job for Jeremy Pruitt. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, think of Tennessee football as having this incredible house in an old neighborhood that's just kind of old and worn down, and Jeremy Pruitt is now the contractor who's going to knock down a bunch of walls. He's going to, you know, the drywall everywhere. The front yard's going to look like a mess. He's rebuilding that thing, and they hope in a couple years it's better.
Right.
And defensively, I think they will be. But Kentucky, to me, I mean, you know, they go 7-6 last year, Josh, and they were three plays away from winning 10 games. That's crazy. And I think they're more talented top to bottom this year than they were last year. I mean, how often have you heard Kentucky have three guys that could have gone to the NFL that decided to come back to Lexington? That never happens, right? People are always like, hightail it out of there. So I think that they're going to be a little bit dangerous team with Benny Snell. They just got Terry Wilson announces their starting quarterback, who is a former Oregon recruit, almost went to Nebraska as well, too, kind of a real mobile quarterback. So I think that's going to be an intriguing team that people are sleeping on this year.
I'm a big believer in what you talked about, how close teams come to winning games. And I know that people don't like to hear that. People love to look at wins and losses and just assume that that's the end-all, be-all and shows you how good a team is. Obviously, that's what's important when it comes to looking at who makes the playoff and who should be ranked where a lot of times. But, you know, you talk about Miami, and not to go down that rabbit hole right now, but Miami's a team that barely got by in so many games last year.
So many, right.
And eventually that catches up to you, and you can look at that from year to year a lot of times.
Yep.
It's one of the factors, and for a team like Kentucky that returns with 15 starters or more, and they came so close in some games, that's where you can see it's not like they were getting blown out in some of the games they lost. I mean, you talk about losing by one at home to Florida in a game. God, they should. Embarrassing way to lose a football game.
They only had 10 men on the field defensively, and they had lost to Florida 30 straight years, three decades of losing there in Lexington, and they forget to cover a wide receiver not once but twice. I think Kentucky beats Florida in Florida in week two of the season this year.
That's the time to get him early on with Dan Mullen,
absolutely.
I mean, before he really gets that thing rolling. So, all right, the over-under for Kentucky is 5. And out of the West, they draw Texas A&M on the road in a rebuilding year. And then they also draw Mississippi State at home.
Yeah.
So not an easy draw, but not the hardest draw in the world. How do you feel if you had to go over-under 5 wins for Kentucky?
I got them over. I mean, I think that just by the fact that they open up against Central Michigan, they've got Murray State. I think they could beat Florida. They could be 3-0 starting the season. Then with Vandy being so weak, and then you got Middle Tennessee at the end of the year. I think, to me, they'll find a way, and even I think they could beat Louisville at the end of the season. So I think this is probably another 7-win game. So I'm taking the over for Kentucky.
I don't feel super strongly about the over. I do like the point that you bring up. I'm not gonna make a play on this one. I don't think that it's a strong over, but Mark Stoops, I mean, eventually he's got to show, I mean, a little bit of progress, right?
Yeah, and he has. I mean, every single year, he's never taken a step back, right? He's won 5 games, and then it was, I think, 5 games and 7 games and 7 games, and it should have been 9 last year or maybe even 10 with the bowl game. So, again, I talked to him, you know, I got about a week ago, and I asked him, and normally he's trying to sell me on his team. He wasn't trying to sell me on it, which means he's pretty confident of where they're at.
Yeah. I was at Kentucky last December for a basketball game. Virginia Tech was playing Kentucky, and we went through we kind of snuck in, actually. My dad and I snuck into the football facilities. Man, that SEC money is real. I mean, Kentucky football they have a better facility than Virginia Tech.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, that goes to show you, and that's probably the maybe 11th best facility in the SEC is Kentucky, and it's still really nice.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's crazy how much money.
But I'm going over. I think that they do. Yeah. I think that they're a bowl team this year. They have that much talent.
Yeah. And what's an easy division? Easier. South Carolina. Let's talk about South Carolina, actually, for a second. So their over-under is 7. This is
an
interesting team.
Give me all the over. Every
I know you
single
like
bit of the over I can take. In fact, I'm going to get on my phone right now, and I'm going to put it on because I think it's going to go up to at least 9.5. I think that, again, this is another week 2 game against Georgia. I think they're talented enough to beat Georgia in Columbia at Williams-Brice Stadium on week 2.
They've got
Coastal Carolina. How about this, Josh? All right, now I'm really going to upset you. I think they beat Coastal Carolina. They beat Georgia. They beat Marshall. They beat Vandy. They beat Kentucky. I think that you're sitting there going 5-0 to start the season before you play Missouri, and you have A&M, which could be, you know, who knows what you're going to get out of Texas A&M this year with Jimbo Fisher's first year and Derek Dooley calling the plays there. You could potentially have a 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-0 team going into the bye week, and then they face Tennessee and Mississippi. This team is going to win over 7 games this year.
7 is absurdly low because the schedule's not bad. Even if they lose to Georgia,
right?
There's really not there's not another game on this schedule that's until they get to Clemson. There's not a game on the schedule where they're going to be
considered that a loss. Yeah,
I mean, but even the game, like, their road games, Vanderbilt
at Kentucky,
Kentucky
at
Ole Miss
and at Florida. I'm
None
telling
of those
you,
are that.
7 is crazy to me because Will Muschamp every single year has found a way to make a 4-win team win 6 or a 7-win team win 9. They won 9-4 last year, and this team is significantly better.
Well, think about it. They basically added a 5-star recruit in Deebo Samuel.
You're getting
They got a guy back.
They
who's
lose Hayden
be,
Hurst. That hurts tight end-wise in Sky Moore. But, again, I think Will Muschamp had another chance to get some guys he wanted. I think Tyson Williams, who was at North Carolina for a little bit, and Enrico Dowdle will be able to run the ball a little bit better. I'm legitimately going on there because I'm like, I need to go ahead and put money on South Carolina over 7.
So I guess in that case, I mean, are you picking the Gamecocks to make it to Atlanta?
No, I still think that they'll end up falling somewhere there, and I think they end up having 2 losses. I think the only loss that Georgia may end up eventually having this year is actually going to be early in the season. I think, like you said, very astutely said, Georgia is only going to get better as the season wore on. If Georgia was playing this game in week 7 or 8, I'm picking the Georgia Bulldogs.
Right.
I think they're a young team right now who I think will be the preseason number 1 in 2019.
Yeah.
But I think that they still have a lot of learning, a big learning curve early.
Yeah, and there could be some turnover. I mean, we'll get to Georgia in a second, so I won't go too deep into that. But yeah, I mean, South Carolina, that's the game everybody's looking at. So
if they get
past Georgia, first of all, if they get past Georgia, they're going to be what? How high are they going to go? 5, 6?
I mean,
they're just in week 2 after that top 25 bowl on Monday.
Well,
they'll be in the top
10.
You
got to figure that some people will. They'll be ranked. They'll be ranked by 23-24 after a couple of upsets in first week.
Right.
I think that they would be listed as probably 10 or 11. Maybe not that high. Maybe 13 or so if they beat Georgia.
Yeah,
when they beat Georgia.
There you go. There you go. You got to stick to your guns, my man. Missouri and Missouri is an interesting team. Missouri or Florida, though, between those two, which one is more interesting in your mind?
To me, Florida.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Dan Mullen, you know, last year was just such a dumpster fire with, you know, the credit card scam and then Jim McElwain saying he had death threats. I mean, it was just time for a new start. And the fact that they could get Dan Mullen, which was the perfect hire for him. Gene Chizik cannot sell me enough stock on Florida this year. He thinks he's got playmakers on both sides of the field. And they think that, you know, Felipe Franks was, frankly, terrible last year. Dan Mullen should be able to work with him a little bit better. So what's the over and under for Florida? Do you have it?
8.
8? That's a push for me. I think they honestly win 8. I will tell you this. If I had to go one way, I'd probably take the under just because I think that they could fall to a Kentucky. There'll be some growing pains in his first year. So I'm actually leaning towards the under there.
I think a lot of it falls on Felipe Franks. I mean, what's Dan Mullen going to do with this kid? I mean, this is a former Elite 11 recruit.
Yep.
I mean, he was an LSU commit at one point
and then
ends up at Florida. Mullen has done wonderful things with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nick Fitzgerald as a passer, very limited in his time at Mississippi State, and Mullen was able to win a lot of games with him. Felipe Franks, probably a better pure passer than Nick Fitzgerald, not the runner, but a better thrower of the football. I think naturally, what can Mullen hone in on that? this season. I mean, ultimately, I think falls on him because there's plenty of talent around him. Gene Chizik's right. I mean, they're never short on talent.
CeCe Jefferson.
Absolutely.
I mean, they always have some great defensive
Chauncey Gardner, love that guy.
I mean, he'll be good. You know, what's the kid? Siante Lewis is pretty solid. So, again, I think that they'll be good. I don't think that you can make the leap to 8 to 9 wins all of a sudden. So I think, again, that's a six, seven win season for Florida.
When does Dan Mullen get Florida back to winning an SEC title? How many years?
2020. I think that they could be legit. The problem is Georgia has such a head start right now that what Georgia is building is kind of like what Alabama has built 3 or 4 years ago, that it ain't going to be a hiccup.
Right.
I think that they reload this year, but they ain't going anywhere.
That's the thing. I mean, I think Georgia's going to be so dominant. Maybe Florida.
They just needed somebody with Kirby's attitude in there. Because Mark Richt, who I love, he's a great dude. He just, you know, he never really wanted the facilities. They're like, oh, you know, hey, can we get an indoor facility? I mean, Kirby comes up in there and he'll slam the door. And he's like, I need this. I need this. If you want us to compete, we need this. And now the fact that he asked for that stuff, and they were buying in already, and then he's a play away from winning a national championship. Hey, they're going to open up the pocketbooks, and it's only going to get better down in Athens.
Well, let's talk about Georgia to wrap up the SEC East. 10.5 is the over-under, so you're giving them a wiggle room to lose one game. I mean, this is a team last year. They go, 12 or 11-1 in the regular season?
Yeah.
The only loss was that Auburn loss, which I think I saw coming a mile away when they played Auburn, I think, given where they were and what they had ahead of them. At that point. But this is a team that, look, is it going to be Jake Fromm? Is it going to be Justin Fields? Maybe that's a big question mark.
It'll be Fromm, but Fields will play, especially with the new 4-game red shirt. Fields will get in because, I mean, listen, Kirby understands you got to play a backup quarterback because look what happened last year. You didn't have Jacob Eason. When Eason went down, Fromm went in, and you had to have some guy ready. So, I mean, Fields is legit. Get to know that young man's name, but Jake Fromm is still the starting quarterback out there.
To me, I hate betting overs on win totals that are this high.
Where
do they lose?
I think they lose to South Carolina, and if they get past South Carolina, you're talking about your road games are going to be at Missouri, at LSU, who I think struggles a little bit still, and at Kentucky. I mean, you've got, you know, you're not going to lose against Massachusetts, or you're not going to lose against Middle Tennessee or Austin Peay, and you get Auburn at home again. I think they take a step back as far as how good they are, but I don't know if that really worries, you know, if it really – this is as good of a schedule. The only person that maybe has a better schedule than this year is Alabama.
I know. I think – okay, why do you think they take a step back? Because I'm curious to know what you think about this.
You lose Sony Michel, Nick Chubb.
See, I think they're upgrading at running back.
DeAndre Swift.
I think this is a Darius Guy situation all over again.
Chubb was the star. I don't know. I'm with you in the fact that they don't take a step back in that aspect, right? What I mean is they take a step back in leadership. And what I mean is that all of a sudden, I mean, you had Roquan Smith, Lorenzo Carter, all of those guys had this like fraternity mentality together that they were brothers, right? They all came back for this. You know, I think there's going to be a little growing pains as far as to find out who's the next leader. Are they talented? Yes. But, again, Georgia's never going to struggle for a running back ever again.
Right.
As long as Kirby Smart's over there, they're going to be solid. So, again, I still kind of like the over there.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not picking them to lose to South Carolina. And if they don't have that, to me, Auburn's going to be a tough one. They do get them at home this year, and revenge is on their mind. I feel like they get through that as long as they're healthy.
Yep.
Missouri could be tricky with that offense. Early in the season,
Mizzou is going to be interesting.
If the defense is still trying to get its feet underneath it in whatever, week 3, week 4.
The good news is, though, Missouri can't run the ball. And that's really going to be the deficiency this year for Georgia. When I was down there and talking to Kirby this spring, he was extremely worried about their defensive line. And I think that's the big issue about what you're going to see there is I think he's worried that teams are going to be able to run the ball, but they're really not going to face a team that can run the ball really maybe until November in Auburn. I mean, they don't – you know, the teams that they're going to be facing are kind of more pass-heavy teams. That's why I still like Georgia in their schedule this year.
Yeah, it seems like a foregone conclusion. We're going to see Georgia. We're going to see Alabama. We're going to see Clemson. We already know who's going to play.
I think we see Georgia and Alabama. Georgia and Alabama. But again, I still think Auburn could be a college football playoff team.
Well, we'll get to Auburn in a second. Don't get ahead of me, Peter. So we'll flip over to the West now. Ole Miss doesn't really interest me that much. Arkansas is at 5.
They interest the hell out of me. because I think that they're going to be that with DeMarcus Lodge, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Jordan Tamu, who's actually I think a better quarterback than Shea Patterson. I think they are a low key, extremely dangerous team because they don't care. Like, Josh, they don't have to go to a bowl game this year. They're still under a penalty. Phil Longo can just say, you know what, there's no governor switch. We don't have to play it safe. Let's just go out there and try to hang half a hundred on every single game. Their defense ain't going to be good.
Right.
But they're going to be fun to watch. So, listen, that Alabama game, listen, they're not losing or they're not beating Alabama, but Alabama has some secondary issues this year. That's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah.
And I think Ole Miss, nobody is going to look at that team and go, hey, that's an easy out. Arkansas is an easy out this year. I don't think Arkansas is going to be very good whatsoever.
Well, switching from
Bielema
to Morris.
Yeah.
So, well, and see, Ole Miss, I don't know if I necessarily – maybe you were going in a different direction with that. I think Ole Miss could be a team that gets overlooked a little bit by the likes of Alabama, just in the sense that they might sneak – I mean, when are they play Alabama week three.
Week three.
So they're going to get Texas Tech in week one. That could be a shootout.
Yeah,
will be. But then Southern Illinois. So we're not really – Ole Miss isn't going to come – you know, or I guess Alabama's not going to come into Oxford ranked. You know, you're not going to see Ole Miss. It's not going to be the marquee game. Maybe Alabama's already expecting to be 11-12-0, whatever, by the time they get to the Iron Bowl. And in week three, Ole Miss – it seems like a game maybe Ole Miss jumps out in the first half.
I think what actually will help Alabama in that game against Ole Miss is that they're facing Louisville in the opener. Simply for the fact that I think Bobby Petrino is going to put some numbers up on that Alabama secondary, and they're going to have good tape to look at it where their deficiencies are, and that'll help them week three against Ole Miss.
Very well could. All right, well, let's talk about we got to talk about Texas A&M. I mean, with Jimbo in his first year, the over-under is a 7.5. Jimbo comes in, $75 million contract, national championship expectations, all this stuff. I mean, to me, I don't see it on this Aggies team in year one. I'm not sold on either one of the quarterbacks, Kellen Mond or Nick Starkel.
I got 6 wins for him.
Yeah, so it feels under. It just it screams under to me.
I think, again, this is about Jimbo trying to figure out who he has on that team and what direction they're going to go into. And I think they have a really tough schedule. I mean, they're going to be 2-2 to start the season because they play Clemson week 2 and they got Alabama in Tuscaloosa week 4. So, again, you know, if people are going to complain, it's $75 million for Jimbo Fisher. I think they start 2-2.
I never got the sense – outside of the years where Jameis Winston was under center, I never got the sense that Florida State was all that resilient of a program when Jimbo was there. And when things went wrong, things went really wrong at Florida State. And if they get off to a 2-2 start, it's a young team. And
not worried about because I think Jimbo handles it differently because the distractions in Tallahassee were different than I think the distractions of being 2-2. I think the distractions on the field are easy to deal with than rather the distractions off the field. And I think at Tallahassee, he had a lot of distractions off the field.
Did.
And I think he'll learn from that coming up this year.
He did. So are you buying stock in A&M long term?
Absolutely. I mean, if I can buy stock in two teams, I'm buying a lot of stock in Dan Mullen in Florida, and I'm buying as much as I can buy at A&M. They've got the facilities that are incredible, right? They have a coach who has done it before. They have boosters that will say, you know what, you need more money? We got more money for you. They have a fan base and a true home field advantage, and they're in a really good recruiting-rich area. Give me all I can get about Texas A&M.
All right, how about your boys at LSU? We can't skip over the Tigers. Year two under Coach O.
Yep.
7.5 as well. How do you feel? I know how you feel about week one.
How about this? I'm taking the under, and I think they're a better team than they were last year. That sounds weird, right? Because I think the schedule is really difficult
Brutal.
For LSU this year. It's I mean, just really tough. I just think that this team, I don't know if they win 9 games this year. And I really, again, they're going to face Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama, you know, at Texas A&M at the end of the year, at Auburn early. And then, of course, now they have to play at Florida 2 years in a row. That's going to be a tough game.
Right.
I think their defense is going to be a top 10 team in the country. Dave Aranda in his 3rd year out there. They got Grady Williams. They've got Devin White, who I think is a all 99er type guy. Again, I like their defense. I still not sold on their offense. I think they beat Miami, but I think that they struggle after that.
What do you think the deal is with the offense? I mean, you got Joe Burrow comes in and
they just
the
don't
mess
know who
that took place
they don't
last
know who
year.
They want to be. They don't know who they want to be.
That's going to be their problem. I mean, that could be Coach O's downfall. Don't you think?
I think what I think is they're going to want to pass the ball a little bit more. I just don't think they have the offensive line to really give Joe Burrow a ton of time this year. And that's going to be tough when you're facing Auburn, when you're facing Mississippi State, and you play in the SEC West with so many good defenses. So I'm hoping for the best for LSU. I still don't think – I mean, outside of if it's just three wins and it falls all apart, I think Ogeron is definitely safe for this year. And I like what he's doing. He's recruiting good players. This is going to be a case where I think the end record is not going to be like you talked about. I think the team will get better, even though the record did not indicate it.
LSU, they've had more success than Texas over the last 10 years, but there's no excuse why those two programs shouldn't have quarterbacks. That goes to show you that no matter how much talent is in your state, no matter how well you can recruit, if you don't get it right at quarterback, you're not winning titles.
And you have to have at least – a guy that can keep the defense honest. And LSU hasn't had a guy that can do that. I mean, they didn't have it in Anthony Jennings or Jordan Jefferson or Jarrett Lee or Miles Brennan. They're hoping Joe Burrow can at least keep the defense, you know, somewhat, you know, we're not having 7 or 8 in the box every time.
So under 7.5 for LSU. How about Mississippi State at 8? First year with Joe Moorhead. They're going to be without Nick Fitzgerald for the season opener, which isn't going to matter. But there's a lot of excitement around Mississippi State. I mean, Moorhead comes in. I think that he doesn't get nearly – he gets credit, I think, with the people who really follow college football for what he did for Penn State. But I think the average person doesn't understand just the impact that I think he brought to that team.
Yep.
And now he's going to try to do the same thing in Starkville. I mean, the over-under is 8. How do you think they fare?
Give me all over. Yeah. I love this team. Defensively, I think they are solid. Montez Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons are fantastic. They got a bunch of JUCO kids that no one really knows about that they kind of stash behind. And the kids at redshirt, they're going to be good. I think that they're going to be a surprise team in the SEC West. And honestly, if Mississippi State had that game against Alabama in November at Davis-Wade Stadium in Starkville, Mississippi State would have actually been my pick to win the SEC West. I think they're legitimately that good. So I'm buying all in to Mississippi State plus 8 wins.
Yeah, Joe Moorhead feels a lot like what Tom Herman was at Ohio State.
He's got a lot of pressure on him, though, because you can't afford to miss right now with this team. I mean, because
– oh, it's fully loaded.
Yeah, I mean, that's the deal. Like, you know, if you miss on this and you only win 7 games, whew, that's not a good situation whatsoever.
Well, it's critical for him, too, because being a first-time head coach at the FBS level, he has a chance to build momentum now.
Yeah.
And if he can't win with this group, what's he going to sell to guys down the line?
Yeah, you have to be able to go ahead and win on a team like this, honestly, because then you can sell going, you know what, when we have the expectations, we deliver.
Yeah, and in a division with that much pressure, we know what A&M, you're buying stock in A&M going forward, so you know they're going to be a top 10 team before long.
And I don't know, and of course, I'll hold on Mississippi State as far as long-term stock, because it really has everything to do with how they handle it. That week 2 game at Kansas State is a weird game now, especially that Nick Fitzgerald got suspended for the opener. Remember the last time we saw him, he got his ankle crushed against Ole Miss, so that'll be his first game back. That's going to be a tough one.
Real quick, yes or no, is he in New York for the Heisman?
Nick Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think he'll be good. He's still not a good enough passer.
Right.
But Moorhead's working on his footwork, so that should be interesting as well.
All right, so we got 2 more teams in the West. Auburn, 9.5.
Give me the over.
You like Auburn?
Yeah. I think Auburn goes undefeated until they go to the Iron Bowl. I think they're
really?
I think they're that good this year.
Wow.
Defensively, they're good. Jared Stidham is just – He's grown a lot. And I think Gus is finally comfortable, if that makes any sense. I think winning the West last year really changed it. Of course, his new contract.
Getting a big extension will make you more comfortable.
As well. But, yeah, I like Auburn this year.
Love Jared Stidham. I've liked Jared Stidham ever since he was at Baylor. Mm-hmm. I mean, tremendous talent. Probably borderline first-round pick. I mean, depends on what happens this year. But he's certainly in the mix.
He's got the stature of it. Yep.
Right. Kerryon Johnson did a lot for that team last year, and you saw that come to fruition. The team was worn down by the fourth quarter of the SEC championship game, but a lot of that was Kerryon Johnson literally fell apart on the field.
And they didn't have Cam Petway either, you know.
True. So I think obviously a lot more is going to fall on Jarrett Stidham's shoulders this year, but man, they got some receivers too. Like Nate Craig Myers, love that guy. Ryan Davis, I mean, they've got some skilled guys. I think this team might be a better passing team Would you think it's safe to say they're a better team through the air than what we normally see out of Malzahn?
Just because of Stidham, I think they're going to be more balanced, if that makes sense. You know, like, so I you know, they've got, you know, Darius Slayton. They've got guys, even pretty much all the running backs can catch the ball out of the backfield this year.
Yeah.
You know, if Will Hastings comes back from his ACL injury, that knee injury. I think they'll be balanced. I think they know who they are and they're comfortable, and that's why I like them this year.
So Alabama, the team that's going to be facing an undefeated Auburn in the Iron Bowl, they're over under. It's got to be 11.5. So basically, are they going undefeated or not? Now, they've only won this is the crazy stat. They've only won one national championship while going undefeated. Who was the quarterback? Who was the quarterback of that team? I know you know the answer.
Is that Greg McElroy?
Yeah.
It was Greg. I hate to give Greg any kind of credit when I see it.
Fewer losses than strokes it took him on that hole this summer.
I don't even want to talk about that. He has a hole-in-one and I don't. It's crazy.
You really don't have a hole-in-one?
I don't.
It blows my mind.
I've played college golf, almost turned pro, and I still don't have one. So I had a hole-in-7. Actually hit 3 balls in the water in a tournament and actually hit the 4th ball in the cup. So for a hole-in-7. But I don't have a hole-in-one.
That's the worst. All right. Well, let's get to Alabama. I know you don't have a lot of time. So Alabama, are they going undefeated this year? Are they hitting the over? Schedule's too easy. Where do they lose?
I don't see it. I really don't.
I'm not gonna put money on the over because I think that's silly.
I don't think you get value, so I don't stay away from it because you never know if. But I mean,
injury.
The Jalen Hurts to a Tagovailoa situation is so overblown. Like, it's like going to your garage and like, do I want to drive the Maserati or the Ferrari? Like, they're both incredible. So secondary is where I think they have some concerns with the way it sets up. Louisville, I think they'll be able to get them. Ole Miss early. Again, you know, you're facing Missouri and Tennessee out of the East. Yeah. Come on. I mean, and you get Auburn at home. To me, it's just a no-brainer for them.
So, foregone conclusion, Alabama's coming out of the West. They're going to play for a spot in the playoff, and maybe even if they lose to Georgia, they might still make it. But let's project forward then as far as the national championship is concerned. It's one thing to switch your quarterback at halftime of the national championship game where the teammates don't even have a chance to think. I mean, they just got to go out and play. They got to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're saying it's overblown, but if the bar for Alabama is beating Clemson or Georgia or Ohio State or whoever it is, those elite programs that they're, I mean, in all likelihood going to face in the playoff, it's different, I think, when you're trying to sort out that quarterback situation all season long, and it's a storyline week to week, as opposed to last year, it wasn't a storyline.
Yeah.
It wasn't a storyline.
The whole thing, too, there is for Tua is we just don't know. I mean, listen, he took the world's worst sack, you know, unless he throws that pass on 2nd and 26. And even in the fourth quarter, he threw a horrendously bad pass on 4th down that actually, you know, by the grace of, you know, the Alabama football gods, was completed, or else that game would have been over.
Correct.
And this is a completely different situation. I don't know how much he protects the ball, and I don't know if he's injury prone. Those are the two things. Yeah. We already saw him banged up once. For Jalen Hurts, we know what we're going to get, right? Mm-hmm. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, he's going to be an 8.5. He's going to have deficiencies. Tua has much of a higher ceiling, I believe, but I don't know what the low end is of talent level for him. And again, it's one thing. I mean, remember, Jake Bentley was great his freshman year at South Carolina because he didn't have to think. But when he knew he was a starter and he starts looking at the playbook and they want him to do everything, he handled it differently and was not great last year. So, again, I think they're in a good position right now. I'm not too concerned about that. And Damian Harris, he's not going to get enough credit just because he's not going to get enough carries. But that guy is an absolute beast.
Name a Harris on the team. They're all beasts.
Najee,
I mean, Najee Harris
Damian,
and Damian. It was crazy watching that game last year, the national championship game, and seeing all the freshmen. I mean, Tua was the guy you saw, but like
Smith,
Leatherwood and Najee Harris. I mean, it was like, my goodness. I mean,
and
these
now,
guys are
– right, and that's the deal is these systems – with the 4-game redshirt rule, Nick's going to trust
them
even
better.
More.
Yeah,
I know.
They're going to be even better.
They'll be solid.
So Alabama's going to – okay, well, I got to get you then. Who wins the SEC, Alabama or Georgia, and do both of them make the playoff or just one?
I've got Alabama, but because I think Georgia has a loss and they'll win and they lose, I think they end up – Georgia ends up having 2 losses at the end of the year. I think one to South Carolina and one to Alabama in the SEC championship game. I think it actually ends up being – Alabama and Auburn that are to the 2 playoff teams in from the SEC.
That would make sense if you get the Auburn. That they would almost be the Alabama of last
year.
Go undefeated.
Undefeated team. You lose last game, and then Alabama wins the SEC championship. That would happen. Now, of course, you need Oklahoma to have a couple of losses, and you'll need a Stanford team not to make a run, and you'll need the Big Ten to kind of cannibalize each other.
Yeah.
I can definitely see it happening. And honestly, people will complain about that, but if you want an expanded playoff, that's the best thing that can happen, because really people want an expanded playoff when they got two teams, LSU, Alabama, in 2011. So we got a bigger playoff. Now people want a bigger one because it was two teams in the SEC. If you get two teams from the same division in the SEC get it, everybody's going to be screaming bloody murder that we need to have six or eight teams.
I think it's headed that way.
It's headed that way. I just hope it's not until 2026 or whatever when the college football playoff contract ends.
It might not be. I mean, at this point, they've locked in for a few more years.
Yeah.
I think we'll see it stay at four for a while, but I would love to see it at eight.
I hate it at eight.
I know you do.
Give me four all day long, because then every single game matters. If you have an eight-game playoff.
But the Alabama game didn't matter last year.
You can, but it could have, and it should have, right?
But it just didn't.
But then if that's the point, all right, it didn't quote-unquote matter, right? However, you didn't know that. But if you had an undefeated Alabama going into the Iron Bowl, you could say with an eight game playoff, it don't matter. Like, legitimately, it doesn't matter unless they get blown out by 75 points, that it won't matter.
You know what didn't matter either? Miami losing to Pitt last year, because they beat Clemson and they're back in. Like, I think, but losing to Pitt, had it been an eight game playoff, they lose to Clemson, they're out. They could in a four game. Or I'm sorry. Had they beat Pitt,
yeah,
they could have lost to Clemson and made a case to still make the playoff, which would have devalued the conference championship game.
That would have been a
game.
Joke, because Miami was not worthy of one of the top eight spots.
I get it, but just a team that's undefeated that loses a game, like they lost to Pitt.
What I love about college football is that college football is excellence. It demands excellence, and I think what I don't love about NFL any longer, for a bevy of different reasons. One is that you can be okay, and as long as you get hot in the playoffs, you can win it.
Right.
I don't want that. I want that game to be on Sundays where I care about the playoffs.
Yeah.
I want the regular season to matter in college football. And the more of an expanded playoff we have, the more it detracts from every single Saturday feeling like the biggest Saturday in the history of the sport. And that's what makes this sport so amazing.
We could go on with this for a while. So I'll cut it off now. We'll tell you what, we'll table that. And we'll table. I wanted to get to Madden does the All 99 Club, where they give. I think there were seven guys this year that were all rated 99 on the game. You might be the only guy I know who is as big of an NCAA football junkie as me.
Oh,
so,
bring it back!
So I know.
Bring it back!
God, we need it so bad. So I tell you what. Sometime later this season, in between the 18 shows that you're doing, I'll try to sneak over here and
let's do
another podcast, and we'll talk about who would have been rated 99 on this year's game, because I think it's fun to think.
Devin
about.
White. I will tell you that. I'll give you one or two. I think Devin White of LSU, the linebacker. That guy is a freak of nature. I think he would have been on there. And then Jeffrey Simmons, the kid from Mississippi State, the defensive lineman. I mean, he's the closest thing that I've seen to, like, Glenn Dorsey and Dominican Sue. As far as
you must not watch many Houston games.
Well, listen. Ed Oliver.
That dude be all 99.
He might be, 99 might be hurtful. You know, he might be upset about that. Those two guys, I think, would have made that 99 squad. Yeah.
All right, cool. We'll talk about that more one day. So, thanks, man. I appreciate you doing this. And we'll talk soon. Good luck with everything. And one more time for people listening, how can they keep up with you this season?
Yeah, I mean, the best way is on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. I mean, you can't watch the SEC Network without seeing my ugly face on there. And then Monday mornings, me and Marcus Spears from 7 to 10, they'll simulcast our radio show on Sirius XM that you can find on channel 374 every single day.
Awesome, man. Well, you're the man. Thanks.
See you, bud.
All right. That's it for this episode. Thanks again to Peter for coming on with me. We only had a half hour. I wish we could have had 3 hours. The guy is one of the most creative, fun, passionate college football fans I know, and big things are ahead for him. So super happy to have him on the podcast. I think he's one of the better guests that we have. And if you want to listen to him, well, just tune into the SEC Network basically any time of day, because he'll be there. So once again, tune in tomorrow. Kevin McGuire, Rossi Three Stacks will be on the podcast. And we got games on Saturday. I cannot wait. College football right around the corner. All sorts of fun topics to get into tomorrow. Big Ten over-unders. I aim to tease. Daily fantasy preview. All your best bets. That's coming up on Friday's edition. So thanks again for listening. Tune in next time. See you later.